Hey, through the word, Peyton Jones here, ready to jump into 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Remember, Paul had only spent 2.5 weeks in Thessalonica before having to leave because he was driven out by the circumcision group. He leaves Timothy and Silvanus behind so they can finish the work of discipleship for the newly formed church in Thessalonica. That's why the letter opens up from all three of them in verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever wished you could be in two places at one time? Perhaps you've double booked your schedule, and having two of you would have been so helpful. Maybe you had to be at work, but you wanted to be at that game or at a wedding. But because there was only one of you, you had to choose and miss something. That's why there have been books and movies about how awesome it would be to be able to make clones of yourself and be in multiple places at the same time. Paul wished he could still be there with the Thessalonians, but realized that with Silvanus and Timothy there, that he didn't have to be. Paul had reproduced himself and Timothy and Silvanus so well that it was like he was there after all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 focuses on how much the Thessalonians had grown in Paul's absence and how encouraged he is by the outworking of their faith. But before we jump into the heart of the passage and unpack all of that, let's take a minute to receive the blessing he gives in verse 1. Grace and peace to you. No matter who Paul wrote to, he opened his letters, all of them, with that blessing from God. Don't miss the significance behind Paul starting every letter he wrote with letting us know that whoever we were, or however big a screw-ups we could be, that God's heart towards us was always to know more of His grace in our life. Grace is God's undeserved favor and love, and that's why Paul will tell them, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you." Now, Paul wants them to feel special because they are special to God and they're special to Paul. But there's a second part of this blessing, grace and peace. A Christian receives peace in two ways. Number one, God declares a peace with you because He's no longer your enemy. And number two, He proclaims peace to you. So it's peace with you and peace to you. God wants to flood your mind, soul, and life with His peace. That peace comes from the confidence that God's grace is for you, that God is on your team because He loves you with an eternal love that has spanned eternity past and will outlast eternity future. Now, Paul knows that God's heart for the Thessalonians is one of grace and peace towards them, but he wants the Thessalonians to experience it. And God also, my friend, wants the same for you. So let's jump into the heart of the passage now, starting in verse 2 and 3, where Paul writes, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Paul immediately switches from pouring his grace and peace unto the Thessalonians to his own personal gushing about them before God in prayer, thankful for three ways that they responded to the word of God when it was preached to them, or three things he remembers about them every time he prays for them: work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope. Ever the skilled writer, Paul had a way with words, and each one of those many phrases could be an entire audio guide on Through the Word. But this power pack list of three things is the outworking of faith, hope, and love. All three powerful traits in their own rights. These three things are grouped together in the New Testament 8 times, including once more in chapter 5. You might recognize that faith, hope, and love go together from one of the most famous Bible passages ever, 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul famously groups together faith, hope, and love. These things remain, but the greatest of these is love. Yet Paul here does something fantastic with the words faith, hope, and love. He takes them out of the mysterious stratosphere of ideas and shows how they powerfully work in a person's life. To quote D.L. Moody, he put shoe leather on them. Faith was working in the Thessalonians. They worked hard to spread the gospel. They worked hard to smuggle Paul out of the city during persecution. And this is important. They worked hard at their jobs to be a witness. Their faith, that God saw their hard work as worship and that people saw it as a witness was paying off. So Paul praises them for this. But their love was also producing labor. Now, labor is different from work because it involves pain. Paul seems to say that the love working deep within their hearts in the Thessalonians was causing them to live sacrificially. Lastly, their hope in the return of Jesus was causing them to endure suffering and persecution, but more on that in future chapters. So these three things, faith, hope, and love, were working so powerfully within the Thessalonians that it was having a huge effect, not only on Thessalonica, but also on the surrounding regions. Their witness was on fire, and that fire was spreading. Just as God had chosen the Old Testament Jews from their paganism to become his people and tell the world about who he was, so the Thessalonians have been chosen by God to witness to the entire world around them. And Paul echoes that in verses 4 through 7. He tells us how they responded to the word of God and then what they did with the word of God. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, and with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake, but you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so, you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Have you ever thought about the way in which God has chosen you to be a witness where you are? Perhaps you've never realized the impact you could have not only in your sphere of influence at home, neighborhood, work, and school, but even beyond. Today we live in a world where everyone wants to be an influencer on social media, but the Thessalonians had become influencers in the faith. Other believers were hearing about their witness and being inspired by it. Perhaps you've underestimated yourself, just as Paul may have underestimated how well the Thessalonians could do in his absence. Remember Frodo, the ring bearer from The Lord of the Rings and J.R.R. Tolkien's epic fantasy saga? Young Frodo seems to be chosen by forces outside of his control to be the ring bearer to restore hope to the world. Of course, he seems like a very unlikely choice, particularly against the might of Gimli's stout axe or Legolas's eagle-eyed prowess with a bow, or still Aragorn's destiny as the king of Middle-earth. Yet the invisible, unseen creator of Middle-earth has a plan for the unimpressive and unsuspecting Hobbit. And he gathers friends around him who also share the burden and play their part. But at the end of the adventure, Gandalf says to the Hobbit, "Surely you don't disbelieve the prophecies just because you helped them come about. You don't really suppose that all of your adventures and escapes are managed by mere luck, do you? Just for your sole benefit? You're a very fine person, Mr. Baggins, and I'm quite fond of you. But you are really just a little fellow in a wide world, after all." Maybe that's how you feel today, a little fellow in a wide world, after all. But nonetheless, you can have a huge impact, as the Thessalonians did. Not just in their region, but further beyond it. Dwight Moody understood what it was to feel like a very common, ordinary person as a shoe salesman, yet he was inspired to make a difference. He once said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. And by God's help, I aim to be that man." God went on to use D.L. Moody as one of the greatest evangelists the world have ever seen. But the Thessalonians similarly aimed to be that person, man or woman. And it's important to know that Paul is confident that they were chosen to broadcast Jesus to the world around them because he sees the evidence of it. Paul caps his thought off in verse 8 by saying, "So we don't have to say anything." In other words, we don't actually need to be there preaching the gospel. You're doing it for us. Well, that's enough for chapter 1 for now. Paul just wanted to encourage him with what he heard. They were going through it, and despite being imperfect witnesses like us all, they were still awesome. Their witness was epic. Remember, you don't have to be perfect to receive encouragement, so receive it today. And I'll see you in our next chapter on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.